a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Well, good morning. My name is Bernie Hanef. I'm the House Democrat leader, joined by Jason Ferrix, our Senate Democrat leader, and we appreciate y'all taking the time and tuning in today. So we're ending the eighth week of a nine-week legislative session, 1 week to go. And some good things have been accomplished, and we have a week to hopefully add to that list. And maybe we can talk a little more about that next week when we actually see some of these things need T's crossed and I's dotted yet, but we'll see how it goes here in the last few days. But I think there's a potential for some good things to have happened in this legislative session. Sadly, two very important items, maybe some of the most important things we've dealt with in years, seem to be on thin ice at best, and that's what I'll just talk about very briefly here this morning. One, I'm going to mention Medicaid expansion. As I've said before, the biggest public policy issue that we've probably faced in decades, we've tried for a quarter of a century or more to try to figure out ways to make sure that all South Dakotans have some access, at least, to health care. And we failed on the state levels across the 50 states, and the federal government took it on with the Affordable Care Act. But the Supreme Court then upheld it but made it optional to the states, and the states have to opt in to the Medicaid expansion portion. And we're about 20 states that have chosen not to. And we could have done it last year. That was a huge mistake. I was really hopeful that we could get it done this year. That opportunity seems to be slipping away. I just want to give an honest report to our citizens across South Dakota. And if our colleagues on the other side of the aisle think I'm wrong, I hope I'm wrong. But it looks to me, with discussions we've had with the administration, with our Republican colleagues, and with folks in Washington, that there's a standoff that I doubt can be bridged in the next week or so. Again, I hope I'm wrong. This is will be a huge failure for this legislature and for PEER. Again, the New England Journal of Medicine says if you expand Medicaid, 94 lives are saved, just flat. That's the statistics when people have access to good health care. It improves the lives of 48,000 other people. For the most part, these are working, low-income folks who don't get health care at work, and they're going to be a more productive workforce if we get them health care. I just read a study the other day that suggests that probably 25% of the 48,000 suffer from a serious mental illness, and which probably describes why they're low income. And the Affordable Care Act would treat those mental illnesses. So, and again, making them a more productive part of the workforce, tax-paying citizens. So this is a huge public policy thing, and again, we should have done it a year ago. We should do it today. And I can't imagine that we can't come together on this. But there's a standoff that seems unbridgeable at this point. So that's one. We can talk further about that if you wish. The other one is building South Dakota, which isn't in quite as dire a straits as Medicaid expansion. But, you know, building South Dakota, and the senior reporters in this room know the history, that grew out of a dispute over what is real economic development in South Dakota. And the Democrats wanted a more grassroots, expansive approach involving all communities, rural and urban, putting focus on affordable housing. Why create a job if there's no housing for the worker? Focusing especially on workforce development and education. And so we finally put one of the real, what I thought, money wasters on the ballot a couple years ago. The voters agreed with us, and this administration really wanted to do those corporate giveaways, so we structured a compromise last year called Building South Dakota. And it was a huge success for the 2013 legislative session, but it's only been on the books for 9 months or so. And already I feel it's being greatly weakened. The funding source that we put in place is being amended drastically. The education portion seems to be in some dispute. According to the way it was presented to the House State Affairs Committee yesterday, I think there's support from our House Republican colleagues and on the Senate side too to hopefully fix some of these things. And we need to fix the funding source and make sure it's an adequate funding source. So I'm not necessarily real negative that we can't fix Building South Dakota, but it's going to take some work here in the last week. With that, I think I'll turn it over to Jason, and we can answer questions on those or other subjects. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Bernie. Again, this is Senator Jason Furix, a hail from up in the northeast corner of South Dakota at Wilmot. And I'll just add to a little bit of the discussion that Representative Hunoff mentioned as far as Medicaid expansion. We still have, obviously, a fair amount of time to work through, even in this legislative session, just to develop a plan to move forward. And that plan, obviously, will give our South Dakotans out there that reassurance that we here in Pierre are willing to tackle the problem that exists, where we have these 48,000 individuals that, again, don't get us wrong, they have health care, but they don't have health care coverage. And I think that's an important point that many folks sometimes choose to ignore, because these individuals will receive some type of care should they go into the emergency room. But at the same time, who's going to pay that bill will be up to the local officials there, perhaps the provider or the county. And so that's why this is such a crucial program, because even in that emergency room care, they still will not be available to receive the mammograms, the radiation, perhaps any treatments that may be needed that obviously will only encourage them to seek that emergency room care again in the future should they not have those other preventative measures. And so it definitely comes down to dollars and cents. Leader Hunoff and I have yet to hear from our friends on the other side any dispute on the numbers. Last year, maybe there was speculation about whether or not the feds would follow through. This year, I have yet to hear any strong debate from the other side that says we don't expect the feds to follow through on their end of the deal. The only problem this year is that there is that imaginary line in the sand that's been drawn at the 100%. And the only reason there is simply because the folks on the other side think that that those individuals will be much better served through the federally run exchange. And so we're going to continue to engage in that dialogue, but the dollars and cents make the most sense for our folks here in South Dakota. If you know, it's quite fitting if this were a project that involved the wonderful Lewis and Clark Waterline project of $270 million investment in South Dakota, we would have made sure to clear the path and make sure that those dollars could flow immediately into South Dakota. But again, we're whether it's highway money or Lewis and Clark Waterline projects, we enjoy that federal investment here in South Dakota. Why should it be any different when it comes to Medicaid expansion? And lastly, on the Billing South Dakota, I appreciate the work from our friends on both sides of the aisle over on the House side, working with the Billing South Dakota program. As we looked at it on the Senate side, it was interesting for us in Senate State Affairs to learn a little bit more of the motives behind what the Bureau of Finance and Management has to, obviously, in their eyes, they think send more of an investment to education. The only difference I would share is that through Billing South Dakota, obviously those dollars would flow outside of the formula when it comes directly to education, whatever is left after ESL and CTE. But certainly through the Bureau of Finance Management's plan, they would just as soon look at only going through the formula, and that's how they show more of an investment in education. But that's simply only because it comes from the side of local property taxes. And so that was an example that we were able to lay out there in that committee. And I think it's something that we will see, obviously, the Billing South Dakota bill again on the Senate side, because it's been changed. And so we'll encourage that dialogue and certainly work through the issues there. But with that, I'm sure we both look forward to your questions and go on. So anybody want to start?
Yeah. Do you have any particular plan to push Medicaid expansion in the last week of session or after session?
We'll definitely propose an amendment to the general bill, which is probably the appropriate way to expand anyway, and I don't disagree with some of our Republican colleagues who on past votes have said, you know, even if you support Medicaid expansion, this isn't necessarily the way to do it. Truly, the governor has said, and I agree, that the way to do it is through the general bill. So, yes, we'll bring an amendment to the general bill on the day before the last day, and then we'll, if that's unsuccessful, we'll also seek to amend it on the floor of the House and Senate, I would suspect. It's that important to South Dakota.
Nate with SDPB. Just real quick, Representative Hunhoff, I know you mentioned that building South Dakota and Medicaid expansion are a couple of the maybe more negative parts of this year's session, but what are some of the positives that you've seen? I know you said that there were some good things that happened. Maybe if you could just expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, and my wife will appreciate that question because she always says, don't be so negative. So thank you. I say, well, that's just the parts they pick out to play, so thanks. Lots of positive. First of all, we have an opportunity now to fund the schools at almost twice the rate of inflation. You know, we've created a huge, now I'm getting negative, but we've created a huge hole for our schools, a crisis in education. And sadly, in past years, you know, a lot of folks out here were saying, I don't know if the schools need more money, or I don't know if the teachers need to make any more money. It's cheaper to live in South Dakota. All these excuses without any recognition that we've created a problem. This year, I've not heard any of that from any legislator, and all I'm hearing is that we need to fix the problem. We've got a crisis. We've got a teacher shortage, and we need to work together to rebuild it, and we're going to fund education, I hope, at almost twice the rate of inflation, which is woefully short yet of where they need to be, but a good sign that we've turned the corner. So that would be number one. We're also going to fund Medicaid providers, grassroots health care efforts at about twice the rate of inflation, I hope, which again fits the same scenario. They're grossly underfunded, but at least it's a step in the right direction. Beyond that, I think we're on the verge of doing some good things in the healthcare arena, even if we're not expanding Medicaid. Some attention to audiology services, very important bill for providing intensive new autism therapy to children. We've been charmed by some of the young kids who've been brought to peer by their moms and dads who have been helped by that kind of therapy. So that's really exciting. I think we're on the verge of doing a really fine effort to expand prenatal care to unborn children of poor mothers, regardless of citizenship. That's a touchy subject, but in a very bipartisan way, we're finding support for that, and I think that that's going to pass. If you can read the tea leaves, it looks like that's going to pass. So those would be some of the things that would quickly come to mind. And then I think a lot of the things that we've avoided are positives. Some of the things that might have looked like negatives, some of the discrimination bills, didn't get very polite reception here in committee rooms, never even made it to the floor. So that was good news. I mean, we could be sitting here with two black eyes like the state of Arizona, and that didn't happen in South Dakota. And you got to give a lot of credit to our Republican leadership and the moderates and the Republican caucuses for that. So we've escaped some really bad things. We're on the verge of doing some pretty decent things.
Cassie Bartlett, SDPB. Going back to the Medicaid expansion, Governor Dugard's waiver request, you know, was to provide up to 100% poverty level, and, you know, ACA is 138%. So without our waiver, and if it's not expanded, what are the people in the gap then that don't qualify for the subsidized plans that will be affected by not doing any sort of expansion?
Thank you for the question there, Cassie, and it goes back to my beginning statement. They will continue to have health care, but they won't have health care coverage as far as who's going to pay that bill. And so they will be continue to be uninsured and not covered as far as any type of areas there. Certainly they most likely can't afford to be in on the exchange, and in most cases they won't be allowed to be in the exchange because their application will be kicked out and say that this should be Medicaid, and then they'll be left kind of in a bureaucratic circle. And our friends that run a very solid Medicaid program here in South Dakota, they're proud of that, and we certainly are proud of the Medicaid program, how it's run here in South Dakota. We'll admit that they've had a number of those that circle in and out, and they're left in limbo, and that's not fair to our citizens. And so the interesting point that we've been discovering as we had our a couple of conference calls with the folks that run the program for Medicaid out in D.C., have said a lot of the reason why they deny states like South Dakota who don't want to fully expand Medicaid is because that program, by not But not having those from 100 to 138 on Medicaid, it just simply costs them more from a federal perspective. And so, and even in South Dakota, they admit they would rather have those people on the exchange than have South Dakota pay for those individuals to be on the exchange. So it, the dollars and cents continue to make the most logical sense in that scenario. So we, we're much better off to have them covered through Medicaid. It saves the state and the federal side of everyone more money. Ultimately, county governments and the providers also will not be left picking up the tab.
Yes, there's some interesting statistics on whether access to emergency room care or free clinics really translates into quality health care coverage. I think people have tracked mortality rates of people who have health care insurance and those who don't, and the death rate among those who get a cancer without insurance is far higher. And I think if you look at the new study now about mental illnesses, obviously if you don't have health care coverage, you're probably not getting treatment for those serious mental illnesses unless it reaches a crisis stage. If you break your arm or have a heart attack or a stroke, yeah, you're going to get into the doors. But if you got a sore arm that might lead to something more serious, or a pain in the chest, or various issues like that, you probably don't go coverage. You go for care. You go do your job, and it just gets worse and worse until it's too late, and it costs you your life or your productivity at work, and it costs us all a lot more money.
Along that that same vein, with the apparent demise of the 100% plan, obviously you've said that you'd prefer a full expansion. That there seems to be resistance to that among both Republican legislators and the governor. Have you given any thought to emphasizing things like the Iowa or Arkansas models as an alternative for South Dakota?
Yeah, we had a good conversation in this room, and I don't want to speak out of turn, and our Republican colleagues will have a chance to explain how they heard it, but the standoff is whether to go to 100 or all the way to 138, right? So Washington tells us, the law says 100, you have to go the full boat to 138. It's non-negotiable, it's the law. And they couldn't negotiate or waive that if they want to. Now, these are experts, these are the heads of the programs in Washington, D.C. What about it? 25 or 30 states have already expanded. Even if it wasn't the law, they probably aren't going to bend it for South Dakota because they'd have to go back and renegotiate with the 25 or 30 other states. So that's not going to change. That's the parameters. We have to play four quarters of the game. You got to play by the rules. And Washington's paying the bills. And, yeah, they're writing most of the rules. But, yes, within that parameter of going to 138%, they'll give us, I think, any waivers we want. You can have the Iowa waiver, or you can have the pending Pennsylvania waiver, or the Arkansas waiver, or any combination thereof, or write your own waivers. But you got to provide coverage from zero to 138% of poverty. And that, we made that much progress this week. We learned what the rules of the game are, and those are the rules of the game.
I'll just add a little more, and it sounded like from our Republican colleagues and the governor's office, some of their hesitation even on the Iowa model was how the coverage will work from 100 to 138. Certainly they're all covered, but who's going to pay for some of the expenses of having them involved in the exchange in those areas? And the way that it sounds, that the folks here in South Dakota think that Iowa isn't acknowledging all the costs they may incur from a state perspective by having a tailored program for their state. And so it still goes back to what I've said before, it's obviously saves the state and the federal the most amount of money just by doing the full expansion. And so we're going to still continue on that dialogue, though, because if you take states like Iowa and Arkansas, they're very similar in nature to South Dakota, and they have Republican majorities that obviously rule their state houses, at least in as far as Iowa goes. And we know that there's ways to work with those options. So we're not giving up, and I know that Leader Hunoff and myself will continue to engage in dialogue with Washington, D.C. By having had the chance to visit with Cindy Mann, who runs the Medicaid program on the national level. She knows that we want to continue to work with those individuals to look for any available options. And if you take a step back and really look at the issue and where if any of us are playing, if in a sense, if we were going to hold our cards back, it almost looks like what the governor and Republican leadership would prefer is to see that that as many people as possible would perhaps sign up on the exchange in that 100 to 138. And then once they've got everybody kind of baited in, and I don't mean that in any disrespect to them, but once they've got everybody in, then maybe they'll just say, okay, fine, let's go ahead and do the expansion. Now, the question is, will those individuals be moved back to Medicaid, or will they continue to move on with the exchange? And that'll obviously be something, again, we're predicting the future, but that's what it looks like. And if that's the case, then why don't we acknowledge that? If that's the plan, then develop a plan. If you want a year's worth of signups to see where we're going to be, then fine. But don't leave our South Dakotans in limbo as far as where they stand. And so we'll look forward to seeing what turns out.
I want to just add to what Jason said about the folks in Washington. You know, I think about a week ago, I told you folks that out of frustration, I asked, doesn't anybody in Pierre or Washington care about these 48,000? And that was just a moment of frustration. But I can report to you now that people in Washington do care about these folks, and we've built good relationships with a couple of leading people, phone relationships, with a couple of really some of the top people in HHS out there. And they're not giving up. They want it badly to happen in South Dakota. And I know there are a lot of Republicans and all the Democrats here want it to happen in South Dakota. It will happen. It's just too good a program. And the good programs and the good ideas eventually rise to the top. It will happen here. It's just such a short-sighted and foolish mistake not to have done it last year and not to do it today.